Hello, everyone. What's up? We have office hours Tuesday night. I'll be here for a couple of hours. If you are new to office hours, here's how we roll. We raise your hand. I will call you up on the screen, and we will coach. And the order in which you raise your hand is the order in which Zoom puts you for me to coach you, right? So I see a list, basically, of the order in which you've raised your hands. So if you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. I probably won't be checking it much. You'll want to make sure you are chatting with all panelists and attendees, or only I will see your chat, okay? If you have a question at any time, you can hit the Q&A and ask it there if you don't want to be called up on screen. So, I don't have any hands raised. So, does anybody here want to be coached? So, I guess everyone saw the big announcement in the Facebook group where Corinne is going to do a live on Monday. I want to make sure I give the date right. Monday, August 26th, about all the events that are coming up for 2020. And we have some neat things coming up for sure. Lots of some new stuff, some repeaters, just some really cool stuff. So make sure you catch her live on Monday as she talks about the events. All right, we've got a hand raised and it's Laura. So let's see what you got. Hi, I can't hear you. You are muted. Can you unmute? There you are. You got it. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I am a sucker. When I jump on this thing and there's not a hand raised, I just have to raise my hand and it doesn't even matter. I'm like, okay, what do I want coached on?
That's right. Well, I'm glad to have someone to talk to.
And if no one raises their coach or raises their hand, then I can have you for a long time and I am happy with that.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't know if I could talk for 2 hours. So I'm really glad to have someone to talk to.
I have probably several people in my accountability group who would be like, well, Laura's the one who can talk P&P forever if need be.
So what's going on with you?
Well, I'm doing really good. I'm loving P&P more than, more than I can say. I am loving P&P. As a matter of fact, I just had this conversation with my groups and I got to say, I realized that I've technically hit the century club from my highest that I ever was to where I am right now.
Wow.
And I know, and it blew me away that number one, that I have enjoyed the process so much that it's not even like it did. I haven't even been counting down to that. So it was like, wow. I mean, it just really kind of took me off guard because my heaviest was 275. I'm at 175 now. I just hit that last week. And, but 155 is my goal. And I found P&P at 255. So in my mind, I think I was calculating from 255.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to camp in October?
No. Sold out too fast for me.
Okay.
Which is a whole nother topic that possibly at the end, FOMO of all the 2020 events. I had a huge TDL on that this morning, talking with my husband about the things and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. So everything's going really good. And I realized that this last 20, I am so excited to lose this last 20. I am so like ready, like in my mind, it has already happened. I just have to let my body catch up to it because again, and Corinne has said it and I've heard it, but I've just recently like really believed it. Who better to lose those last 20 than the ones you've already lost? Like technically I've lost 25 times already.
Right. So tell me, you said something really interesting and Corinne says the same thing. I'd like to hear your take on it, that you have loved the process of losing 100 pounds. Tell me why, what about this process have you loved? Because I bet there's people who are going to listen to this call who've said, oh man, 100 pounds is going to be awful. It's going to be so hard, all the stuff. So tell me where you come from on that.
Well, so the first part on it is that, number one, I honestly haven't been looking at losing 100 pounds because, again, I knew when I hit my goal at 155, then it would be 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. But that's really not, that's not the case. It is now. So I didn't even realize it was that. But when I started, I think for me, what's made it the best for me is that I know I love to learn. I'm a really good student. I love going to school. I love learning. I am pretty good about like self-reflecting when I'm not learning something, like how do I make this work for me? Mm-hmm. Even in like the academic area, what do I need to do for me to make it work? So I just love the learning process. And mm-hmm. I have learned so much from the very beginning. And each like 20 to 30 pounds has been a different challenge. Mm-hmm. It's been a different learning experience. Right. And when I go back and look at my stuff, I've really made a lot of mistakes along the way that are, it's almost comical how much I made a mistake, but then I still succeeded. And then I made a mistake, but then I didn't. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work for me. Let's try something different. And so, mm-hmm. so the whole process has been learning. That's what I've loved about it ultimately more than anything. And mm-hmm. you said something the other day in one of the, I think it was a podcast that was like talking about Corinne with, we proofread one of the next lessons or modules that she's doing. And you think every month, I think, how is she going to top this?
Seriously.
And I am blown away by that. Like, mm-hmm. I just can't imagine how anything's going to get better than this next course that I'm working on. And then the next one is mm-hmm. it's just amazing. So when we have that kind of content that we're really able to delve into and explore and mm-hmm. talk about and share and learn from, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah.
Even with the mistakes along the way.
I think she probably shares your love of learning new things. And that's why her content keeps getting better and better, because she's always reading. She's always studying. She's always listening to podcasts. You've heard her say all this. It's a truth. You know, she's got things going on all the time. She's got books going on all the time, and she's always looking to improve herself so that she can teach better, more effectively, clearly, you know, just, she's, she really is amazing in the way,
the pulse, her fingers on the pulse of everything. Like, she'll say something, and it's amazing that we were just literally talking about it in our groups. Like, she really know, like, how is she inside of my head?
That's, yeah.
We say that all the time. Like, she's just saying stuff, and it's obvious it's because she's been through it. And mm-hmm. and she has experienced every bit of it. And mm-hmm. so it's just
makes a huge difference for sure. So I'm curious, did you ever join that running club? Last time I talked to you.
Yes, I did. And I have went consistently for the last 4 weeks. Every mm-hmm. Thursday I have gone. It was wonderful. It is wonderful. I feel myself, I am getting faster. I'm getting faster. Mm-hmm. They're teaching me things, which is kind of funny. Like, This will be our subject of, and I laugh because when I talk about PNP, and I tend to talk about it a little bit more with people, I have a friend who just texted me and said, tell me about this tribe, I want to join us. It's September, come on.
Nice.
I'm so excited. So I tend to talk about it more when we're about to open up, but I said, it's not just about losing weight. Obviously mm-hmm. weight is kind of what gets us going, but I said, these are my life coaches. I mm-hmm. have been on coaching calls with everyone. A couple times it's been about weight, but most of the mm-hmm. time it's either about running or it's about my family.
Yeah.
So, so actually running will be a great, that I'm trying to find here's my TDL that goes with this. I have some really funny thoughts on my running, and the running club has helped me with it as far as, so I have this Garmin watch that that does this race predictors. And based off the data that this watch has over my runs for almost the last year now, it says that I can run a 5K and a 10K and a half marathon and a full marathon at this time, these different times.
Okay.
I look at these times and I laugh at them. I mm-hmm. absolutely laugh because I am not that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost makes me like nervous to think, why does this say that I can run like this? Where is this jacked up data coming from? Is my like mm-hmm. thought mm-hmm. on it. And I was talking to an accountability group on it, and she was laughing, saying, you can either believe one or the other, that you can run that fast, or you can argue your pain points on why you can't.
Oh my goodness. That's some really good advice.
Right. Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. And so I did a really good TDL, and I don't know if my thoughts, I don't know if I need leveling up thoughts or if my thoughts are a little bit too sunshiny almost. Like they sound good, but I don't know how much I believe them yet. So, mm-hmm. So this was my initial, what if I write down, I am capable of running as fast as my Garmin says I can in race predictors every single day. Why do I find this laughable? It's neutral data. It doesn't have my baggage or my emotional ties to it. I'm almost arguing my pain point to convince myself why it isn't possible. I can be curious. I can be inquisitive. I can be pushed to challenge myself. And then, so here's my model. These are my two models.
Okay.
My Garmin race predictor time. Mm-hmm. Times. That's my circumstance. Mm-hmm. So these times that my Garmin gives me. My unintentional model says those times are absolutely unachievable. Mm-hmm. The feeling is disbelief. Mm-hmm. Action is try with limits on my body before I even start, which feels like pre-quitting as well. And then my result is possibly improve a little bit. So I get a little faster, but not at the Garmin race predictor times or paces.
Okay. I think that's a mixed up model. Let's write that one down.
Mixed up model.
Yeah, okay. Because it's got you've got improvement at the bottom of an unintentional model.
Because I did think about that, because the thought is those times are unachievable. So I'm not saying that I can't get a little bit faster, because there's a big gap in those.
I think that's a different model. I think that's a different model. Okay. When you say these times are unachievable, that's disbelief. What did you have as your feeling?
Disbelief.
Okay, disbelief.
Yeah, for those times. So like right now, even like right before I wrote this, I have what my PR is for my 5K. We'll just go with that one because it's kind of the easiest for me to remember. Like my PR 5K was 35. Something, maybe 35:15. It's telling me that I can run a 28:50 5K. I mean, that's like 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. So faster. Back to this model. Mm-hmm. Those times are unachievable. Disbelief. Mm-hmm. When you feel the disbelief about the times, what do? You don't work harder.
I don't work harder. I still like my action was I try. Like I still run.
No, you don't try either. If you're disbelief, you're shutting down. You're like, no, that's baloney. There's no way I'm doing this. Okay. So you close your mind to the possibility that you'll make that time. Okay. You don't try harder is another model.
Okay.
When you're, let's say I tell you, Laura, in the mail tomorrow, you're going to get $10,000. Okay. That's okay. Pretty close to being as outrageous in your mind as running a 28-minute 5K, right?
Right?
The feeling is disbelief. Is the action go check the mailbox, or is the action forget that? I'm moving on to the next thing.
I don't know. There might be a small part of me that would check. I would check the mailbox a little bit, maybe that day, and then go, oh, maybe I would check the mailbox a little bit, and then I'd be like, okay.
Well, you are just way too optimistic. But do you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
When you
really feel disbelief, you're not going to go, well, maybe I can. Because disbelief is like, you know, that's not the right feeling then. Okay. Disbelief is pretty much cutting it off.
I was going to say maybe I am that optimistic, which is why I'm not really sure if all like the things that I'm saying, even in my intentional one, are a little bit too, but just a little bit too far reaching. Like if they're not as grounded, they feel mm-hmm. good. I just don't know if they, I don't know.
So, okay. So let's finish this model, then we'll do the intentional, just so everybody keeps up with us, okay? So the thought is these times are unachievable. Okay. The feeling is it disbelief. The mm-hmm. the action is don't trust the Garmin.
Yes. Laugh at the Garmin.
Right.
Nervous laugh at the Garmin.
Don't trust Garmin. I would even say you doubt... doubt that you can do it, doubt your own ability.
Doubt my own ability, yes, that one definitely.
And the reason, and there's more, you know, there's doubt the ability, there's shut down, there's like, no, that, you know, there's all kinds of things. And the result in this is that you don't work to achieve because you don't believe in it. It's like setting a goal. What if we set your goal weight at 99 pounds? Are you going to work to achieve that? No, right? Because you don't believe in that goal. What is happening with this Garmin thing is it's telling you, you've got a goal basically, or you can do 28 minutes. You don't believe in that. So that's where disbelief comes in. So you don't work toward it. You don't put any effort into it, which means you don't get to the goal. Okay. That's really what the unintentional model is. It's, you know, you have a middle model that says something where try a little bit in the action line. That's, mm-hmm. There's a model in the middle that might be, well, that's interesting. I wonder if I can do that. Or maybe that's not so crazy or something like that as the thought, you know, where you're actually giving it a little bit of merit. You know, well, if the Garmin says I can do it, maybe there is something to it. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. So that kind of led me to my intentional model of, well, like before, even before the intentional model, I wrote it out again. I am capable of running as fast as my Garmin says I can in race predictors. Do I believe this? Not yet. What's my level of thought? So I wrote mm-hmm. some thoughts. I wrote five thoughts. Mm-hmm. Level up, and I wrote the feeling that goes with them. I didn't take all of them out into the full model, but I wrote, I'm open to believing I'm capable of running as fast as my Garmin does, which gave me the feeling of openness. I'm curious about the possibility that I am capable of running as fast as, mm-hmm. Which gave me the feeling of inquisitive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would love to see if and how my body can show that I am capable of running. As fast as my Garmin. And that was kind of expecting. I felt like, well, if I would really love to see it, then it gave me like an expecting and kind of an anticipation of mm-hmm. like wanting to mm-hmm. work towards it.
Right.
I'm willing to show up and prove that I'm capable of running as fast as my Garmin says. And the last one that I ended up doing, the last thought that I ended up doing the model on was, it would be fun to show my brain that my body is totally capable of running as fast as my Garmin says I can.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I feel like it is my brain that has the limitations on, because when I'm running, I'm like, what's stopping you? Is it your lungs? Is it your legs? And it's like this overall feeling of heaviness that I feel, which I don't think is physical. It's mental, of like, just keep pushing past that.
Mm-hmm.
So the feeling was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the action was show up for runs, willing to put in the work, push my body a little more each time, and give my body permission to overrule my brain. And then the result was have fun in my runs and the journey of getting faster and faster.
Yeah.
And I liked that one. I did like that one because it gave me like it didn't happen now. It wasn't like I was going to go out one time and then all of a sudden be that fast because I changed my thoughts. Because mm-hmm. I don't believe that's going to happen either. But I believed that it would be every time I show up with the excitement of, hey, what if, you know, we could do this and let it happen a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
That it was more possible and more believable that way.
Yeah. Those models sound good. In fact, try a little bit harder fits in one of those models, probably one of the earlier ones with the mm-hmm. the less than mm-hmm. certain, you know, thought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you the Garmin has some algorithm probably that has tracked your progress while you've used it and anticipated that at some point you might be able to make this. Who knows? You know, it's somebody's math, somebody's opinion into an algorithm.
Right.
Cool. Good work.
Thank you. I love it. I love how PNP translates into
mm-hmm. everything.
Everything. Yeah, really. Not to everything. Everything can be into this. So I do like it. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm excited. Don't Stop Believing is on the top of my list. My
do it.
Yes, it's absolutely.
It's the best event
CDL
ever.
Today, I listed the top five, and that was absolutely the number one on my list. So I cannot wait until the 26th to find out more about everything else. And
I'm going to tell you, the Don't Stop Believin' race has the best medal ever.
That's fantastic. And I think I heard Corinne talk about how this year coming up, how she's looking at an event to actually put on the event as well and do it.
Yeah, we're actually doing a 5K. There's a 5K, 15K that's going on here in Nashville on that Greenway on Saturday. And this event management company is doing that. So we're taking a look at them.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear about all of the things that P&P is going to keep on bringing to us. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Oh, got three people now. Yay. Ala, you're next. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
Good, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay. All right. So we haven't coached in a little bit, but I got coached with Corinne about 6 weeks ago, and through all of my thoughts, the one thing that she said I should be focusing on is my night eating. I've been working on that, I would say, over the last 6 weeks, and it's definitely in the right path, and I'm focused on that. I do see, you know, the urges and discomfort, and I recommitted back to journaling. So I'm TDLing now consistently, because what happened was I was doing it religiously, and then like everything else started to fall off. And the big piece with me is, you know, getting things out of my head. And I was even resisting that because I'm like, oh God, I'm not finding anything new. But I think what finally opened my eyes is that I'm not going to find anything new. This is the stuff that I need to keep working on, and it's not gonna be like, it's almost like, you know how we say everybody kind of loses interest, you know, around 2-3 month mark, and I was the same way, because I am always looking for new things. And I finally reconciled myself with saying, this is this stuff in your head, their thoughts, and they're not going away, so you need to learn how to live with them. And so so I've been through my TDL, and I've been kind of writing, and I think Corinne said to me, you know, I haven't heard anything that's coming out of your mouth that's in your brain that something's broken. This is all normal thoughts, and you keep judging them, and you keep thinking something's wrong with you, because you're the one thinking it. So long story short, I'm working on the night eating. It's getting great. It's getting better. I'm walking away from the perfectionist mentality, because I know this is like the rest of my life. I truly believe that. And the TDL yelling is really helping me. Like at the end, I just dump it all and I write, like she told me. And it's okay that I think all of this, right? And
absolutely.
I noticed the last couple of weeks, I don't even have to write that anymore, because I think I'm accepting that no matter what comes out of my head, it's okay that I think this way, right?
You know, what's so interesting is you talking about how you ended up with the same TDL all the time. You're always writing the same thing. But what happened during that time is when you started it, it probably felt like those thoughts were just unmanageable.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I can't believe I'm thinking, you judge the thoughts. You thought half of them were facts, the facts of the world, like CNN.
More than half.
Right. As you kept doing those TDLs, what happened in your mind, even though they didn't change much, was your brain started to see that you were actually thinking thoughts, that they weren't really facts, and that the thoughts began to normalize. You know, this isn't, the world's not coming to an end because I had a thought about a cookie in the pantry at night or whatever it was. So not only did you start to recognize that they were thoughts, you started to realize that they were normal, and they became, you know, like where they were up here on the stress, you know, judgment level, they became down here more on the, this is just what I'm going to think every night level. And that's okay, because that's what our brains do. They think.
Yeah. And even rewatching, so I got coached, like my very first call was with Betsy back in March. I'm a January baby, but you know, I've been following, I just celebrated my 1 year P&Pversary.
Nice.
So even when I got coached with Betsy, and probably you at around the same time in March, because I had some job interviews I was going for, I literally was like, I have double personality. I remember, I watched this, I mean, it's hilarious. This is like exactly what happens when you're in the tribe and you're doing the work. You rewatch something from like 4 months ago and you're like, oh my God, I'm trying not to again judge yourself, but you were like, I was on the call saying, crying, saying, I have this other evil, nasty, negative, mean person inside me, and she's coming out now because I don't numb with food anymore and I don't reconcile this. And just even the drama of what you're talking about now, back in August, I'm like, yeah, it's just my thoughts. You know,
that's just so funny.
I don't have evil personality. I mean, maybe right. Some people call it evil, but that's their thoughts. I can't control that, right?
Right, right.
So just the way I articulate this journey is, to me, you know, is incredible. So one of the things, and then of course the weight needs to come off, right? So that's like mm-hmm. the other coin of this is that mm-hmm. I cannot, the mental BS mm-hmm. that I lost is immeasurable. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I could see it. Oh, sorry. My kid's trying to FaceTime me. Oh, either. Okay. Sorry about that. The one night that nobody's home, she's trying to FaceTime me when I'm on the call with you. You know,
of course. Well, that, you know, but I used to say my kids never want to talk to me unless I was on the phone. So, you know,
it's always like that. So one thing I need help with that mm-hmm. I'm working through right now is restriction. In a good sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're all restricted. So I am right. I'm working on believing that restriction is not a negative thing. Mm-hmm. But then the other side of the coin is, I want to lose the weight the way I will live it, right? What ANP stands for.
Right. Right.
And this is where I get a little stuck. And I know it's a brain thing. It's not like, you know, the number on the scale is, you know, I focus on realistic plan. I work hard on mm-hmm. making it realistic. But what I'm finding is that the weight needs to only really comes off consistently if I am more of a lose the way you would live it for the rest of your life in the restriction mode. Okay. So I am having a little bit of a battle, and I know it's mm-hmm. just a thought, mm-hmm. a little bit of a battle between what is enough restriction for me to be comfortable with to lose the weight I want to lose, mm-hmm. Because I'm not even half through my journey. I'm about 33 pounds. I've been mm-hmm. trying to get to Wonderland for the last 2 months, mm-hmm. back and forth, the same 3 pounds. But I know why. I'm working at a night eating. Mm-hmm. But the issue I'm having is this whole, some of it is a little bit of an old diet mentality restriction, but I understand that's not what we're talking about because my plans are as realistic as they can be. I could never sustain the weight loss I've had already, the 33 pounds on Weight Watchers, if I was doing the way I eat now, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that that restriction in itself is not the same, but I also don't want to get myself to a point where I am just gunning for the number and making those plans so restrictive where this is not right. the way I want to live the rest of my life. And right. I am willing to, you know, for it to take 5 more years. And I know I'm going to be like, did I just say 5? Okay, maybe not 5. I'm willing to take as long as it needs to be for me to lose the 53 pounds, you know, because I want to keep it off and I know how to do it. This is like stuff that I'm working through right now. So I was wondering if you could like maybe help with that. Because
let me ask you this. To me, there's two different types of restriction. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm talking about, for everybody who's listening, the good kind of restriction in which, we are just paying really close attention to what goes in our body to make sure it's, you know, it's good food, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, we're not having cookies every day anymore. We're not having cakes every day anymore. Well, that was me. I was a cake eater. I could bake a cake and be my thing. But anyway, so in that sense, I do restrict because I don't eat cake every day anymore. Okay. Right. So there's food restrictions. There's also overeating restriction. Okay. So from your perspective, you are learning to restrict by stopping your nighttime eating. Right. You're learning to restrict by stopping at your +2 instead of eating to +5, things like that. Right.
Right.
So there's the hunger scale and then there's the leveling up of the food. There's two different types of, you know, restriction that are necessary if you want to lose weight. Now,
right.
As far as which restriction you go after and how much, that's only something you can decide. That's where you have to look at it and say, what am I willing to do for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And which is more important to me, having cake every day, doing this nighttime eating, or losing 30 more pounds? Which is more important? Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So, and what that comes back down to is pleasure in the moment or pleasure long term. Pleasure right. in the moment is having your snack after dinner. Pleasure long term is having a good, healthy body that, you know, has lost its weight.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's a little bit of, again, my little bit of a perfectionist coming in when Corinne's like, focus on your night eating and I think you'll be golden. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Kathy, 6 weeks, I'll have been focusing on night eating. I'm not saying my plans are crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so much less in recovery worksheets. I used to have like maybe 14, 15 recovery worksheets the last mm-hmm. 4 months. And mm-hmm. so far in August or since I started, I'm like mm-hmm. at number 4.
Good.
Right? We're almost done with August. So mm-hmm. it's, and so you could tell like more than half of that was the night eating. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was also eating in other ways, to mm-hmm. your point, maybe past my plus two in other meals, no matter how healthy they were. So how do I?
So tell me what your results in August are. Have you lost weight in August?
I think right now until this Friday's weigh-in, no, you know what? I was like 0.5 away from Wonderland 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then I was, so cumulatively, let's say since I started focusing on this, I probably lost the pound cumulatively, okay. But the scales, but that's, I'm one of those fat dumper people anyway.
Yeah.
Like I go the low and then 3 weeks is going to go up. And then that's the third week. I just lose patience with myself. Like this is the end of this week saying, mm-hmm. okay, I have to restrict now because obviously it's not just the night eating. Mm. And then I said, well, let me jump on the call before this is where my mind goes. Like, it's not enough to just focus on night eating. You have to restrict everything you do during the day because the only way you lose weight is just go like the old like school of like almost like night eating.
So looking back on the past few weeks, has anything changed in your daytime eating to compensate for the not night eating, or is the daytime eating all the same?
No, it's changed. So like the last 2 days I had two overeats mm-hmm. And two off-plan eats in a row. Mm-hmm. But I also got my period just stopped. So, and I typically gain around 3-4 pounds of bloat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a little bit of I don't want to say a perfect storm in my head because that's just a thought, but
right.
It's like the hormones are up. I'm working really hard on my, uh-huh. you know, night eating. And then I go off plan because now it's a little bit, well, and that's the thing. I don't really make it realistic for my period and I need to start doing it. Because what I notice is that when I have my period, I need to have some certain foods and I don't because I'm like, well, that's not going to give you your results. And then I end up eating them anyway. And then the guilt comes in, right?
That's called not realistically planning.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now that Friday I will uh-huh. have a loss because I am doing the work and the uh-huh. water's going to come off. Uh-huh. I just don't have enough patience for those 3 weeks of up before I hit the down for me to like manage my mind, I guess.
Right. So when Corinne said, let me just say this first and then I'll talk about that. When Corinne said, work on the nighttime eating and you'll be golden. Mm-hmm. She said that with the caveat, which she may or may not have said, that everything else has to stay the same. You don't get to overeat, change your overeat time to earlier in the day.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Or it's not golden. You're just robbing Peter to pay Paul, basically, is what my mother used to say. Right?
Yeah.
So there's that. Everything else had to stay consistent and wrap up the nighttime eating in order for you to be golden. Now, as far as knowing that you're a fat dumper, okay, and for everyone who doesn't know what that means, she's going to stay, she could do all the work for 2-3 weeks and not lose any weight and then lose a big chunk in the fourth week, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people were like that. I think Corinne has said that at one point in her weight loss, she was also like that, right? I don't remember being like that, but I could have been. I don't remember. But the point is, if you know you're like that, why do you allow the thoughts that create the impatience? Why don't you get all schizophrenic like you said you were and talk back to them? You know, hear that thought, look, you're going to have to restrict, then answer it with, no, I'm not. You know, this is how my body works. Well, yes, you are. You're going to have to restrict. You haven't lost any weight. You really want that Wonderland. I can be patient. You know, just have that conversation, that back and forth in your head that settles you down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I had such a big loss in the month of, was it June or July? I had like almost like a, you know, I've been losing a little bit like for 3 months, and I'm not, I wasn't getting on the call saying I'm not losing weight and I don't know what I'm doing. I knew exactly what was happening.
Thank you.
I take ownership. I know who, it wasn't robots shoving down food down my throat.
Robots.
Or the aliens or whatever. Like the Hamburglars. I love all that analogies. But it was me. But even so, at the end of each month, I still had a loss. It was under a pound. But so for 3 months, cumulatively, I lost like 2 pounds, right? And then 1 month, it must have been June, I lost like 6 pounds. And you know, the body, and what I noticed, obviously I am lighter now. I typically become fat dumper in these kind of like right under 200 is like my time where it's like back and forth. When I was 236 when I first started this, I was losing consistently every week, and it was, I would say, realistic plan. You know, this was before realistic plan came out, right? So I just, it's to your point, it's like that last couple of days of like senile now, like the energy of mine. And that's what that, then it becomes like, okay, well now you go back to your habits because it's not working, quote unquote, until you get on the scale Friday. And I even send that like couple of days of overeat of plan.
Yeah.
Like I said, today is Tuesday. I tell you right now, I'll, you know, Friday, I will still be down now, you know, because that's my day to dump all the water, even if I had 2 overeats this week. But if I do that every week, it's not going to, you know, it's cumulatively, right. It's not going to happen. So,
and as you lose weight, you'll stop losing weight if you don't control the overeats. You know, obviously the heavier you are, the more, you know, leeway you have.
Yeah.
But the thinner you are, the more the overeats really start to show up.
Yeah. So I think it, really for me is I need to learn, you know, really TDL and manage my mind around like the end of that week where I know I'm going to dump the weight soon, but now you have 3 gains in a row and you're like, oh my gosh, enough already. That doesn't mean the end of the world. And then at the same time, you know, when I was talking to Corinne about the night eating, it's not like I was night eating seven days a week. You know, I've done the work before that coaching call for 9 months, not to have them 7 days a week anymore. You know, they were like 2 or 3 days. So for me to expect now to lose 30 pounds or, you know, whatever, I don't have a number, but expect to lose significant amount of weight just to, for the 2 night eats I may still be having, you know, like now over many, many weeks is unrealistic. And I need to really look at, to your point, the restriction on the daily where I need to level up versus thinking like, for me, leveling up shouldn't go from like 0 to 100. Right. It's the 1%. It's right. My mind wants to go to like, that's it. Cut out all of these foods. Right. Yeah. It's all these foods. And I don't do that.
Right.
Because then I get my fat dump and I'm like, yay, girl, you're doing great. You're doing it, right. Until the next 3 weeks around, I'm like, Dan.
Right. And that just goes back to, you know, what do I restrict? Goes back to how do I want to live?
Yeah.
You know, that's essentially what I did. I never really set a goal weight. I just decided what the, what kind of food protocol I wanted to be on, what I wanted to allow myself to eat, what my lifestyle looked like, and my body landed where it needed to land. And, you know, that's, to me, that's the right way to do it. That's the perfect way to do it. You can set a goal weight and then you can always change it.
Yeah. And I think it's also time. I kind of rewrite my food protocol every 3 months, you know, but I just put a new journal together and I take my food protocol and restaple it to the new journal. And then last time I wrote one was in April. So my mind has evolved also so much that I need to even relook at that, because I bet you half of the stuff I had, again, realistically had in my protocol, because that's the way I want to live. I probably now know it's not going to serve me to lose the weight. So I need to like think about that.
Well, guess what? We are going back as a tribe. The whole tribe is going to go back through No BS.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So week number 2 is feeling the body. You'll have the perfect opportunity to take a good hard look at that protocol and decide what you want to keep and what you want to change.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I've been redoing the urges. I'm telling you that urges course, like talk about making it simple for me. I'm like, that's just an urge. Get over it. Right. I wish it was that simple, but I'm re-listening to that urges course over and over and over, because I cannot stop, you know, like, just when I want to complicate it, I'm like, no. Because I love to complicate things.
And I love how you talk to yourself. You just don't take any crap.
No, I don't.
You're just like, No, we're not thinking that anymore.
I'm like that with other people too, but
I love it.
Think because I can't control what they think, right?
Yeah. Right. I love it. All You're right. doing good, girl.
Thank you. And I'll see you in October because I'm coming to the camp.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much.
I want to hear when you hit Wonderland. I bet it's Friday.
Listen, you've seen me on Facebook. Oh, there will be like balloons and elephants and procession when I
awesome.
Post that.
Awesome. All right,
thank you, Kathy.
See ya.
Bye.
Stephanie, then Francesca. I hope I said your name right. Both of you. Uh-oh, what just happened? Stephanie, did I lose you? Oh, here you come. All right, I can't hear you. Do you have, can you, let's see. Oh, there we go. I got it.
Can you hear me? Okay. Oh, okay.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my issue is I'm needing help getting started. I'd lost weight. I got in Queen's Club. I'd done really well. And then my marriage and, well, that's not entirely true, but the completion of my marriage falling apart, filing for divorce, all those family issues sort of came to a head at the beginning of this year and have proceeded to get more involved and more stressful. And I have used this as my excuse, I guess, to derail my progress.
Okay.
And I keep trying to go back and I will plan here and there. I will listen to stuff, but I'm not using the worksheets. Probably about the only thing that I do consistently is drink water. I've always drank water.
Okay.
I can probably drink that much and pop a day too, but I don't have a problem drinking water. Mm-hmm. And I just am battling myself.
So what does this big life change have to do with what you eat?
Not a thing. I'm just using it as my excuse.
Yeah. Why are you doing that?
I don't know. Maybe it's because everything is sort of out of control, and maybe I'm letting that be out of control too, instead of letting it be the one thing I can control.
Well, okay, let's look at this thought. Everything is out of control. Okay, is that the truth? Let's do the model.
Some things, I mean,
Stephanie's life. Everything is out of control. How does that make you feel?
Scared.
Scared. Okay. And when you're scared, stress. Because everything is out of control. Okay. We'll go with stress too, whichever one you want to use. When you're scared and stressed because everything is out of control, what do you do or not do?
I eat.
You hide?
Yes.
Buffer. You know the term buffering?
Yep.
Okay. What else do you do or not do?
Basically feel like I punish myself, I guess. I don't do my exercise. Not that exercising is something I just absolutely love to do, but I do physically feel better mm-hmm. when I make myself do it. Of course, I don't eat what I should that makes me feel better. I mean, I eat stuff that tastes good in the moment, but it doesn't necessarily feel good in my body later.
Right.
Self-punishment.
All right. So here's your model. Okay. Can you see it all?
Yep.
We have Stephanie's life. The thought is everything is out of control. The feeling is we could either use scared or stressed. The action is eat, hide, buffer, punish myself. Basically, you don't do things that take care of yourself. And the result is that you are not in control of your life, which means you are sort of a victim to your circumstances. You Yes. are being reactionary. You're not taking control of your life, right?
Yes.
And it's all because you have this thought that everything is out of control. Okay?
Yes.
So let's go back to that thought. You tell me, is that the truth? Is that thought the truth? Is everything out of control?
No.
No.
I just can't control everything.
Right. Can any of us control everything as much as we'd like to?
No, but I'd really like to.
Well, sure. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
But what, all right, so tell me this, what can you control? And what are you willing to control?
I can control what I put in my mouth.
Yeah.
I can control what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Just not what other people do.
Correct. And that is true for every single one of us.
Yes.
We have the ability to control what we think, what we eat, what we do, what we feel. And we have absolutely no ability to control those things about anybody else. That's such a key thing to live by. When we accept responsibility and control for what we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
and eating, that's when we get started. That's when we stay on plan. That's when we take care of ourselves, knowing too that we can't control what's going on outside of our own selves.
Yeah.
What we can control is how we react to what goes on outside of ourselves. So if the ex-husband's over here being a donkey, you can control how you react to him. You can choose to eat because he's being a donkey. Or you can choose to say, you know what? Eating's not going to solve the fact that he's being a donkey.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, then it's just that logical.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we get wrapped up in the emotions of it. And because we don't want to feel the emotions of it, we eat so that we don't have to feel. And I expect that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah. Really certain that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I don't have to feel my emotions or.
Right. So tell me what's so bad about being angry or being hurt or being stressed. What is so bad about that?
I guess in this situation, there's nothing bad. I think I just need to let myself feel it.
Yeah. Because when you don't, the reason you're punishing yourself is because you don't want to feel it.
No.
If you just let yourself feel it, then the self-punishment goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing about feelings, it's like, have you ever just started crying and cried really, really hard, sobbing, balled up in a, you know, fetal position, just crying your eyes out? Have you done that before?
A few times.
Okay.
Not very often.
Right. You did that and then you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was feeling some intense feeling. That was how your body was reacting to a very intense feeling. And the beautiful thing about that visual to me is that you can picture the crying starting, it coming on real hard, and the sobbing and the, you know, the intensity of the crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can picture it also ending. You eventually stopped crying because you're not crying right now.
Right.
Right? That's what all feelings do, whether it's happy or proud or sad or angry or uncomfortable or whatever, they come on, they get real strong, and then they ease back out, and then they're gone. And it can take anywhere from like a minute to like 5 minutes. It doesn't take a long, long, long time for it to ease out. But instead, what we do, because we're afraid of feeling that feeling, is we eat and we, you know, buffer and we watch TV and we do this and we do that, rather than acknowledging the fact that it's okay to feel these feelings. That's, we're human beings. That's what we're supposed to do. So if you allow yourself to feel and you stop the eating, you can also begin to take control of your plan and what's going on around you and those things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I need to work on.
Feeling the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can live your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. If you feel the feelings, you can live your life. And then you can set your own goals, you know, whether they're weight goals or exercise goals, or whatever they are. You can start creating, you can start living through your day intentionally because you have a plan rather than a reactive nature.
Yes.
And indecisive. I'm going to tell you, my word for 2019 was intentional. Because the more intentional I am, the more I set my day up at the beginning of the day, whether it's food or work or exercise or all of the above, the more controlled I feel and the better I feel about myself. Because I have done that work and I have created the feeling of intention. Because without that feeling of intention, I am reactionary. And I'm not always nice to the people around me when I'm reactionary.
Yeah, me either.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a good.
Usually people aren't, right? They're like, why are you bothering me? Here, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what, honestly, that's that realistic plan, that doing that food plan is the very first step of being intentional with your day.
Yeah.
So that's what I would challenge you to do, is set yourself a goal. Maybe for the next week, you're going to have a plan every day. Make it good and realistic. And just show yourself that you can show up and plan every day. And then after a week or 2 weeks, decide if that's the plan you want to keep or if you want to do something else. If you want to level up, if you want to level down, if you want to, you know, amend the plan, if you want to layer something else into the plan, like your exercise or your schedule or your something. That's how you get started. And you go through No BS with the tribe starting in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I mean, I am super excited about going through No BS again. I'm doing it too.
Yeah. It kind of fell at a good time for me.
Yeah. Well, they say September is the new January. I've read that somewhere. And I think it's because of the start of the school years and everybody's coming off vacation. We're back on track and all that kind of stuff. So why not?
That's right.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. It does. I mean, I knew what it was. You just gotta let yourself admit it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you just have to be real with yourself. Kind of like Allah. And we should all be her, right? She doesn't have to crap off of anybody, including herself.
That's right.
I was like, wow, I need you in my head.
No kidding. Come stay with me for a week. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what I'll work on.
I think that would be good for you. And then dive into that No BS. In a couple of weeks. Actually, you know, it's only 2 weeks from now. You can create that plan for the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
And September 1st, you're all in with the No BS.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Stop telling yourself everything's out of control because it's not.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll control what I can.
You control you. Yep. That's all you have to control. Right? Yep. Everything else is up to them.
Yep.
You control everything about how you show up and react.
Yep.
It's all you. Kind of feels good when you think about it that way, you know?
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. Got anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you, Kathy.
All right, see ya. Bye. Francesca. And she's the only one with her hand raised. Come on, y'all. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
This is my first time, so I'm a little bit nervous. I'm good, but I'm nervous.
All right.
So, thank you. I was.
Francesca.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was my grandmother's name, and you pronounced it very nicely. So, thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. I'm really glad to hear that.
I usually have people mess it up, but it was very nicely pronounced. So thank you.
Awesome.
So today I was, I answered one of Corinne's posts, about whether I had done my plan and if not, why. And so I had not, I had sort of started with the group in June. And I think since June I've done like one plan.
Okay.
Not a good track record. But basically, you know, when I'm sort of reflecting on why is it I'm not doing it, you know, there's a lot of the stupid BS reasons, of course. But for me right now, the biggest thing that's holding me back is, I had weight loss surgery in March, the end of March. So right now, what I'm finding is I'm having a really hard time trying to hit my protein goals. So I'm still working with a dietitian through my doctor, or the clinic, whatever. Uh-huh. I'm barely hitting 60 grams of protein a day.
Okay.
And it's just, I need to hit that 60 grams. I can't. Like, I really shouldn't be below that. It's not healthy. It's not good, whatever. And so I kind of feel like, you know, I can get to my two really, really fast. I eat a piece of fruit and there I am, you know, and obviously I need to start with the protein because that's sort of where I need to get my nutrients from first and then sort of fill in on the vegetables and blah, blah, blah. And so I hit that two really fast. And I'm also having a problem with, I have to do this whole half hour. I can't eat. I have to wait a half hour before I drink. And then if I've had something to drink, I have to wait a half hour before I can eat. So it's that whole timing issue. And so I kind of feel like I don't even know what I'm going to eat, when I'm going to be hungry, if I'm going to be hungry, mm-hmm. because I kind of have to eat the totals. So I have to hit that total and I'm not doing it. I'm having a hard time hitting the totals. And then, planning it is just sort of one added layer of, I just don't even want to try this.
Why do you think planning is an added layer? That's so interesting. Tell me, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Have you finished eating for the day?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me everything you ate today?
Okay.
Start at the beginning.
Okay, so this morning I started with some cottage cheese with added some berries to it, a little bit of kashi cereal, and a little bit of almonds, slivered almonds, as one of my snacks, I guess. I had some decaf coffee mixed with some Premier Protein and some Fairlife milk.
Is that's a snack?
Yeah, that was a snack, and it's just okay. One of the ways I can get the protein in and still get my liquid in.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch was shrimp. That was literally all I could eat, shrimp. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then dinner was a bit of chicken.
Between lunch and dinner?
No, I actually didn't have a snack between lunch and dinner. Okay. I just wasn't hungry, and yeah, there was no snack. Oh, okay. No, I lied. I'm sorry, I lied. Okay. I had a nectarine. Okay. I was just thinking, yep, I had a snack. I had a nectarine. Okay. And then dinner was a chicken sausage link and like maybe a couple tablespoons of scrambled eggs, and that's it.
Okay.
And I'm done. That's it.
So how did you decide what you were going to eat at each meal?
Breakfast is usually the same. I don't generally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's, so you could plan breakfast every day.
Yeah. I get into sort of a routine with breakfast, and I don't generally change that up. Mm-hmm. Lunch, honestly, my husband had brought home shrimp yesterday and they were there, and I was like, that's cool.
Okay.
And so also
yesterday.
Yeah. I kind of looked and I was like, oh, shrimp is there. Cool. I'll have the shrimp. Mm-hmm. Since meeting, I just met with my dietitian last week. And so what I'm trying to do is sort of find those higher protein foods that I can eat sort of a smaller amount of and sort of boost the protein. Mm-hmm. And so, and the other problem I seem to have is that, one day chicken will be fine. And the next day my stomach's like, nope, don't like chicken today. Nope. Doesn't taste good. Not that it doesn't taste good. It's not sitting right. My stomach just like, nope, I don't like that. Bye. Okay. You know, so I'm trying to hit sort of foods with higher protein and that are sort of gentle on my stomach. Anyway, so that's sort of how I'm planning. It's like, what's so going to sit.
If you had written this plan last night,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you would have been totally on plan today. Mm-hmm. You've already told me that breakfast is pretty much the same every day. You knew the shrimp was in there. How did you decide on dinner?
I looked at my freezer this morning and said, what do I need to use up?
Which you could have totally done last night. This is,
I could have.
What this does for you is it allows you to not have to make a decision in the moment.
Right.
You already know what's ready for you. All you have to do is go grab it. This is like life changing for me. Okay. I even have my lunch prepped downstairs. All I have to do is heat it up.
Yeah.
So, if you had written this down last night, you would have a 24-hour plan that's 100% followed. And I'm betting this coffee mixture thing that you mentioned, mm-hmm. I guess it's right there. I have it in the right, my finger in the right place.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably do that every day too, don't you?
Not every day, but most days, yeah.
So let's say you wrote down a nectarine and you decided you wanted a banana instead. You're still on plan. It's still fruit. I mean, you don't have to be like letter of the law. Now, if you had planned chicken sausage and an egg and eaten a pizza, you would have been off plan.
Yeah.
Okay. But if, you know, if you'd had three eggs and a piece of toast, you probably would have been fine. Okay.
Okay.
The point is to go ahead and, just like I was telling the last call, to set an intention for the day to know where you're going. This is what I'm going to do. Now, as far as your queasy stomach over chicken,
yeah.
If that is a routine problem for you, is it because of the surgery or is it because I don't feel like chicken today?
No, and honestly, I was fine. And then suddenly like over July, it just, anything I ate just made my stomach, like it felt like it was cramping. And so I talked to my nutritionist. She's like, it just kind of happens. And then, and then you'll be fine. And then it'll be another food that your stomach decides, I don't like this right now.
Right.
So it's just sort of part of what happens with the surgery to some people. I mean, so you know, up until then I was fine.
Right. I would just know that. And on my own personal protocol, I would say I can swap out proteins if I need to. I'm going to plan chicken, but if it's one of those days where chicken is just not the thing and it's part of the side effects to this surgery, it's okay for me to swap out my proteins.
Okay.
Okay.
Because what I'm getting really stuck on is that, because I may need more than one snack, because I may not need more than one snack. It just depends on the day that I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, so I'm a little bit like, it's not on there, so I can't eat it. And so then, of course, I eat it anyway.
Yeah, I would plan to.
Right, and then I'm off plan. So if I don't write it, then I'm not off plan because, well, I didn't write it. So I'm just.
Here's what you learn. If this is your plan for tomorrow and you need a third snack,
okay,
you go ahead and eat the third snack. Like your reasons for doing it. I was hungry. Do your recovery worksheet if you have to. And then the next day you plan three because you realize I didn't plan enough snacks. Can't tell you the number of times I've done that. I'll think to myself tonight, well, tomorrow I probably won't need a snack because I'm having this for lunch and dinner will be early, right, blah, blah, blah. And then tomorrow right, about 3 o'clock I'll hit and I'll be like ready to eat my desk.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And I'll think to myself, I should have planned a snack. And so what my plan every day says, snack and whatever it is, trail mix or banana or whatever it is, and I'll put if needed. And okay, that tells my brain I only get to eat that if I'm hungry. I don't get okay, to eat it just because it's on the plan.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's where my sticking point is because I'm, like I said, I'm very much a rule follower and, you know, like, well, you know, Corinne says, and this is what right, I've listened to, and this is what I've read, and this is what I've heard. So I don't want to like stray from that. And if I'm eating a my plus two and I'm leaving food behind and it's like, yep, but I like kind of need the food and I, you know, I don't want to, because I kind of feel like I'm straddling, like, I don't want to say two plans, but like I'm kind of trying to make sure I'm not under eating because I do need to get certain nutrients and whatnot, but I don't want to screw it up either.
Are you a member of the weight loss surgery subgroup?
I am.
Okay. You probably need to get more involved in there because I think what you're describing is very, very common after weight loss surgery. Even the mentor in that group has had weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good knowledge in there about how to get your protein in, how to, you know, when it's okay to snack, you know, and all the things, you know, there's a lot of information, a lot to be gained from that subgroup. That's why we have it. Cause there's so many of you all who have had the weight loss surgery. And what we find is that that solves the physical aspect, but it never solved the thought work, the perfectionism, the all or nothing thinking, the I can't plan because I don't know what I'm going to want, you know.
I wish they could have done surgery on the brain as well as the stomach because that would have solved all of my problems. they don't call that
a lobotomy.
Yeah, well, you know, some days it would have been a nice thing, but you know, my kids might have thought that would be okay. Some days. I don't know they would have been too sad.
Yeah, let me show you something else.
Okay.
I also put here, because I think this is interesting for weight loss surgery people, I put first meal, second meal, and third meal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really, anybody could do that. You could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but some people don't eat until lunchtime. Some people don't eat, you know, for quite a while. So they might just plan first meal, second meal, or you know, whatever, you know, breakfast might be at lunchtime and lunch might be at dinner, you know, whatever. So you could
write
that way too. And then you could look at your meals and say, you know what, I think shrimp is what I'm going to eat right now. And I think chicken sausage will be breakfast or whatever.
Right.
Okay. That gives you a little bit of flexibility as well. So tell me what you think tomorrow is going to look like.
Well, the cottage cheese will be on there with the berries and everything else.
You're going to keep the coffee?
What's tomorrow? Yeah, I probably will because I've got my boys have appointments. So that is my like carry along with me snack.
You're going to keep the nectarine?
What do I have in the fridge? Yeah, maybe grapes. I have some grapes in the fridge. I think I might eat some grapes tomorrow.
All right. Change that to grapes. What else you got in the fridge and in the freezer that you can plan for tomorrow?
Right. Tomorrow night, I think I'm going to do pork chops for dinner because I know my husband wants.
He
enjoys that. So
pork chops. You going to have anything with him or are you just going to eat the pork?
I will probably have some sort of vegetable. So I don't know, either broccoli or. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You should put vegetable.
So it can be that vague. It doesn't have to be like.
Is that vague that flexible?
Well, no, that's fine. Flexible is fine. I just didn't know if it had to be like,
Vegetable. Does it need to be? What do you like? If we put broccoli on here, are you going to think, if I don't eat broccoli, I can't have anything? Or are you going to be like, oh, good, the decision's made, I'm making broccoli?
No. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it says vegetable, I'll just put a vegetable down. That's fine.
Put broccoli.
I just know my kids will eat broccoli. They're totally on board for broccoli, so I'm good.
Is broccoli too
sweet? And I have a lot of it, so I'm good.
All right. What about the lunch meal?
See, lunch is always, I hate planning lunch because I never know what I want to have.
That's the problem. It doesn't matter what you want to have. Decide now what you're going to want to have.
Yeah.
I decided on Saturday that for every lunch this week, I knew what I was going to want to have. And it was a little bit of pork barbecue and a baked potato and some broccoli.
All right.
I guess that's every day. That's what I want for lunch.
I will be having a tuna open face sandwich.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
An open face tuna sandwich.
All right.
Because I cannot have quite that much bread without making myself feel ill.
Oh, yeah. Anything else? So,
I will probably top it with a tomato slice just to get a little vegetable in there.
That sounds delicious too.
All right. That will be my lunch.
So there's tomorrow's plan.
Yay. That wasn't even
hard, Francesca.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And now you can look forward all night to the tuna salad, to the open-faced tuna sandwich with a slice of tomato. Right?
Okay. Now, what I'm wondering is, because I know I need to hit a certain protein goal,
mm-hmm.
should I be pre-tracking that just to make sure that what I've planned hits my protein goal?
I think that's up to you.
Because I do have an app, because my dietitian nutritionist, when I go see her, needs to sort of see my food plan and stuff.
I don't know that it's necessary for everyone to do that. If it is necessary for you, for your health,
right,
for mm-hmm. the medical care that you're receiving, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay.
Okay.
So, just like I guess I'm going to have to go a little.
Sugars because they're a diabetic. You know, I don't
think
anything wrong with that. What I don't want you to do is eat based on, you know, the number of Weight Watcher points you get or something like
that. No, I'm just right now, I'm really just trying to hit at least 65 grams of protein. And I know I'm still under where my dietitian wants me to be. She wants me to hit at least 80, and I'm just not even close. I mean, she was just excited that I hit 60 every so often the last time I saw her. So, you know, and I'm trying to get there as much as possible mm-hmm. through foods as opposed to protein shakes. Like right. I kind of want to get away from that. So I think I'm going to have to do it a little bit backwards, because what I've been doing is just eating and putting it in mm-hmm. to the tracker that she wants me to use and sort of going, oh, I'm about 10 grams away. What mm-hmm. can I get for 10 grams?
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to have to pop stuff in and then sort of see, hopefully I'll hit the whatever.
I'm going to bet if you tell your dietitian that you're planning ahead of time so you can make sure you get your protein, I bet she'll love it.
Yeah, I have a feeling
she'll think that's pretty genius.
Yeah, I suspect she wouldn't be too sad about it.
No.
So, yeah.
Okay,
but that's not a big issue or anything. Just
I don't think so. If it's a, you know, a goal that you have medically, I think that's I think that's actually responsible. I think that's good self-care to make sure you get your stuff in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I hadn't done this, I probably wouldn't bother. In fact, I actually turned a friend of mine on to the podcast, and mm-hmm. I was just like, just follow the four basics.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, in a month I lost 10 pounds and all I did was
seriously.
And I was like, yay. So had I not done this, you know,
that's what I did. I don't know if it was a Facebook Live or a masterclass or something like that I called the secret to losing weight. You'll lose all this mm-hmm. weight if you just do this one thing. And everybody's like, what? And I said, stop overeating.
Yeah.
All you have to do. And you stop overeating by doing those four basics, right?
Yeah. That's how it works. Sadly, it's not that difficult. It's, you know, it's not some magic wand that you have to wave. It's literally just follow those four and you're good to go.
And what we do with ourselves, though, is we start to get all the head drama around the basics. Yeah. I can't drink all that water because I'm a teacher, because I'm a shift worker, because I don't have access to a bathroom, because you start to get all the head drama about, I can't sleep at night because my kid or my husband or my job or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the work, is the head drama.
Yeah.
The basics are the easy part.
Yeah, that is the easy part. And I, like I said, like the tummy is taken care of because it's only going to let me eat a certain amount, but it's that whole problem is I can eat around the tummy because I can wait that half hour and fill it back up. And then, so there are ways to gain weight after you've had the surgery if you're not careful. So I really need to get my head like set straight. And this is sort of the best time to be doing it because, I don't want to, I don't want this to be in vain.
Right. Seriously. Yeah. And from what I understand, those of you who've had weight loss surgery, the hunger scale is not quite the same. So that's where that subgroup support is really going to be key for you.
Yeah. I have to sort of, it's a weird feeling because I've never felt full before or where I was like, oh, that's what it feels like when you've got food in your stomach and you're good, and it's almost like, oh, that one bite was way over full.
Yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you just don't feel it when, cause you end up stretching your stomach out so much. When you overeat for such a long period of time that you just don't know what that feels like anymore. And then you're suddenly like, oh, that's what that is. Okay. Right? Good to know. So glad I had to have surgery to figure that out. So yeah, it's, like I said, I just don't want this to be in vain. And I do want to get my head on straight and make sure that I've got, I've got everything that I can working for me heading down the right path. I want to, I'm almost hitting that 100 down. I'm getting daggone close, and it's like I just want to hit it. That's so awesome. Hopefully, yeah.
Well,
so,
I'm really I'm glad you got on the call. I guess Mary Jo or somebody told you you need to get on 6 hours tonight,
she
right?
Did. Yeah, she did. Get on a call. Yeah. Well, okay. It's my first time.
Yeah, so. I'm really glad you did because I think you learned something. I think it's good.
I do. Thank you. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. See you later.
All right.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
All right, Cherie, then Julie.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So I've been listening to the call, and it's so funny because everything I wanted to talk about kind of was touched on, and that's how it goes, right?
Awesome. That means I'm doing good.
Right.
I'm applying everyone's coaching to everyone on the call.
Exactly. I struggle with asking for coaching because I feel like my head, like I know what you're going to say, but I'm still not doing what I need to do. So I feel like I'm just going to be like, yeah, Kathy, I know what you're going to tell me. And so I just need to do it. But I also know talking it out sometimes just kind of helps. So, So I have a lot of things, but, I've been doing a lot of thought work, and the last time I was on, you encouraged me to do the self-love course because a lot of my problems are I don't love myself, and that's why I make choices. And so I have been doing those prompts, and my accountability group is actually starting as well from day one. So I'm revisiting them.
All right. Let me ask you this. One of the most powerful things I've seen is when people will actually do the TDL in the prompt and then read it out loud. Are you guys by any chance reading them to each other? Oh my
it's
gosh.
Powerful. There's seven of us.
And, yes.
And like I'm on day 25, but I told them, well, I'll read my day one with you guys or maybe even redo it. And we're super vulnerable in the group too. And it's, and the good thing too, is because I am a little bit further too, like we're on day two right now, but I'm actually on day 25 and day two is kind of rough. And some of the ladies are just like, I don't think I can handle this every day. And I'm like, oh, it gets better. Like,
it's not like that every day. Right.
Right.
it's necessary. I don't know if they're on the call, but you can tell them day two is necessary to kind of set the stage.
Yeah.
Corinne did a beautiful job when she wrote those prompts because they actually build on one another.
Right.
You kind of have to have the ugly ones in the beginning so you know where you are so that each each one past the ones that are tough become a little bit easier and a little bit more eye-opening. So, right. Yeah.
Right. So, and I've been doing a lot of work with it. And what I do is I do the prompts, and then depending on kind of what the prompt leads me to, I'm trying to do my model and my mm-hmm. unintentional or intentional with it. Mm-hmm. But so part of what's coming up for me though, is like, you know, I'm struggling with this, being proud of myself for uncovering these thoughts and things, and, you know, like catching myself in the middle of something and shifting it and, mm-hmm. and being proud of that. But then at the same time, I like when I do my weekly weigh-ins and whatever, the weight's not moving, and it's because I'm not doing the four basics. Like I know that, but it's like, I feel like I just don't have the capacity to do both at once. And I know that's a thought.
Well, maybe not. What if all your focus needs to be on self-love right now, so that you can develop that bone, so that you can love yourself while you lose weight? Because think about it. If you really hate yourself, hate your body, how well are you going to treat yourself? Are you really going to do a good plan? Are you really going to follow your plan? Or are you just going to beat yourself up and go have a Twinkie?
Right.
Right. I heard Corinne tell one of the tribe members just a month or two ago to stop trying to lose weight and just work on self-love, because it's such a core concept that you have to have in order to make the effort to sit in the discomfort, to do the things that you need to do in order to lose weight, or not do the things that you don't need to do in order to lose weight. So what if it's okay to say, you know what, my focus for the next 6 days is to finish up this self-love. Then I'm going after No BS with the tribe in September.
Yeah, I'm excited about No BS.
Right?
I feel like I forget what buffering is. Like, I need to look back at this. So, yeah, because I mean, you know, the other night I've been having, so personally over the past 4 months, there's just been several events that have happened. Like, you know, my dad was diagnosed with cancer again. My dog was hurt. My aunt died. And things are getting better mm-hmm. in the sense of things are, you know, like my dad's doing okay with his treatment. My dog's better, but I've been in this like funk feeling like things are getting better. I should be mm-hmm. feeling better, mm-hmm. you know? And when I'm doing the self-love in this, it's like, I'm not giving myself permission to take however long it takes to have the feelings I want to have. And so, you know, with that, it's like the other night I went to see a friend, and there was literally like nothing that happened. There was nothing that was said that should have been upsetting, but I let the things that weren't said get me to a place where I came home and I just like ate Oreos like an asshole. And in the middle of it, I stopped myself and I started crying. And I was like, this isn't solving anything. Like, there's not even a problem here to be solved. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist with food, which would never solve it. And I like recognized, like,
who am I?
Right. Like, I was like, who is this crazy person that feels that? And I put the Oreo down, you know, in the middle of it. But then there was that part of me that was just wouldn't let myself just have the cry for no reason. You know, it's, you know, that was earlier talking about feeling the feelings with the girl that was on the call. It's like, I don't even know how to let myself really feel the feelings, because I just kind of, I automatically stop them and feel like I have these unspoken rules. Like, you should be able to get over this quicker. You know, you just need to do something else. And so it's like, I feel like I'm a crazy person. Like you said, who is this crazy person here? You know, and my accountability group's really great because they're all like, sweetie, it happens. Like, everybody has these times, and it's, you're human.
Well,
you know,
what you're doing is really fascinating. You're aware, you know, you used to just like eat. Now, you know, that you're eating because you don't want to feel. The next thing for you is to say, why don't I want to feel this? What harm is going to come to me if I actually experience a feeling? Do you know who Deepak Choptra is that, do I say his name right? Choptra. He's a meditation guru, right? That's, you know, has all these meditation challenges and has this big website and everything. I heard him say just really recently, my husband was flipping through the TV and landed on him for whatever reason. And I heard him say, a feeling is a biological response to a thought. Mm-hmm. All it is. So you have a thought in your head. And all a feeling is how your body reacts to that thought. So when you were eating the Oreos, what feeling do you think you were suppressing? Anger, hurt, disappointment?
Disappointment.
All right. Why were you feeling disappointed?
One
sentence.
One sentence. Why was I feeling disappointed? I wanted to have a physical connection with my friend, and he chose something. He chose to do something else.
Okay. He chose something else over me. Disappointed. Right. Eat. What's wrong with feeling disappointed or hurt or passed over? What's wrong with it?
Nothing.
Do you eat when you're happy? I mean, oh, I'm happy. I think I'll eat Oreos. Or, oh, I'm so proud of myself. I think I'll eat Oreos. You don't try to eat to cover up those feelings, right?
Right.
You just try to eat to cover up the feelings you think are going to be like painful, devastating, when they're really not. They're just a biological response to a thought.
Right.
And when you think about it, that disappointment probably had your stomach hurting a little bit, probably had your posture a little bent over. Might have had your head hurting a little bit. Might have closed your throat up a little bit. Might have had a tear or two. That was it.
Right.
And all that stuff kind of passes after a couple of minutes.
Right. And even when I was sitting, you know, and in front of him, and, you know, I asked, you know, what are you doing later on? He's like, oh, I have my dog from my mom. I'm going to chill out at the house with the dog. And I felt it in my chest. And I was like, and again, the awareness, like, I even get mad at myself, I think, for the awareness now. Like, I'm like, everybody's like, yay, you're aware now. And I'm like, who fucking cares?
I don't want to be aware. I don't like it. It hurts.
Right? Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I feel it in my chest. That's my like anxiety coming up. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to tell myself, I'm like, him wanting to spend time with his dog is not, I don't want to spend time with you. It means nothing about me. And I kept trying to tell myself that, but then it was like, well, I just don't want to feel this way.
I just don't want to feel this way. What you're trying to do is change the thought so you can change the feeling instead of just feeling, you know, that's what we try to do too often is we try to, instead of feeling bad, we try and just immediately shut that out and just start feeling good. Rather than allowing ourselves to feel bad. Sometimes it's okay to feel bad, right? Your dad just got diagnosed with cancer. Are you trying to feel good about that? Are you through that? Or are you like, man, I hate that he's sick. That just really sucks. See, it's so important to feel those feelings because if you feel them, then you don't go after the Oreos. You're just, you react like a human being is supposed to react. We're supposed to have feelings. We're supposed to have good ones, supposed to have bad ones, supposed to have neutral ones. We're supposed to feel all the feels because that's how we're made.
Right. And doing all the work that we've been doing, it's, you know, you start seeing all the things that it's like, what are those unspoken rules that you've put on yourself? You know, and I recognize that, you know, things that I say, whenever I'm at work, like, you know, the whole, like, there's no crying in the gym. There's no crying at work.
Yeah.
You know, if people are over emotional, I've judged that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, and I realized that I'm like, okay, so in my head, I'm sitting here saying, oh my God, I criticized all these people and now I'm becoming one of them and I got to stop it.
Because, oh, there's self-judgment. That's even better. Right? Not only you judge everybody else, you're judging yourself.
Right. You know, and
Hashtag awareness.
Like I am the aware queen, apparently. And then also everybody's like, that's really amazing. Most people aren't even aware they're doing it. And I'm like, you know, but then it's the, how do I not then judge myself for recognizing that, you know, I'm doing all these things that I hate.
Yeah, but judging yourself is just layering on a pile of, you know, doo-doo on top of the awareness. Okay, the awareness is supposed to be like, oh my gosh, I see myself doing this. Not, I shouldn't do this. It's like, wow, look at what I'm doing that I can fix. Oh, there's a mistake that I can change something about, rather than, you're such a loser, you made a mistake. Right? It's not easy, but it's a necessary step to move into what path do I want to take? What decision do I want to make here? How do I want to improve this? You have to have the awareness first. Yeah. But if you layer in self-judgment, then you've blocked any path to what do I want to do with this information? You're just beating yourself up because you have it.
Right.
That makes sense? Yeah.
Yes, it does. And unfortunately, it's not on everything. It was, like I said, this past week, I was in that funk. And so then it was just like, all of a sudden, everything just kind of like imploded on me. And so then I laughed because it's like, it was like, you know, you're standing off in the distance and you're like watching it happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, like, don't go down the road. Like, you know, what's going to happen. But it was just like the willpower was completely depleted, I guess. But you know, I am proud of myself at least for being like, I'm just going to pick back up tomorrow and continue to do the things. And, you know, it's just this, I like feel like I'm bipolar. You know, I look at stuff and I'm like,
you and Allah, she's schizophrenic. You're bipolar.
Right. Cause I go through and it's like certainty and uncertainty. Like I was laughing, writing it down, and I'm being like, this is like the weirdest dilemma I put myself in. So I get bored and tired of things once I accomplish them, like I'm ready for something new. Mm-hmm. So I have this like true desire for uncertainty, but then I freak out if I don't have the answer to everything in front of me either. And so I'm like, how do I need to know for certain everything and then be like, okay, now that I know and I'm comfortable, let's move on to something else. Mm-hmm. I was like, it doesn't seem like I should be striving for certainty and uncertainty at the same time. It doesn't seem like that's how usually our model works. But
why not? That's just called learning. Okay, I've got this one. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, wait, I don't know if I know this one yet. Oh, let's learn some about it. I mean, it just sounds like a cycle to me. It just sounds like a cycle of learning. I do it every day.
Right.
Corinne messages me, I need you to XYZ. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know how to do that. And then I figure it out. And then I'm like, okay, got that. Now what do I do? Here comes another message, right? it's just a cycle of learning. It's okay.
Right.
What happens?
Oh. All right. Well, I will continue with self-love and just say, you know what? Don't worry about the scale right now. Just
wrap up that self-love. Make sure you're getting good, strong plans that you're following. Then hit that no BS in September. Sure. Perfect timing for you. Okay.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Julie, then Regina.
Hey.
I can't see you. Oh, there you are.
Oh, I can't see myself, but that's okay. I see you. So
I can see you.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
So I am a June baby. This is my first phone call, and I'm so excited. My accountability coach, Laura, really encouraged me to call in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a moment. And so what I wanted to call with is, being a June baby, I quickly absorbed into all of the no BS. Mm-hmm. I felt like I took that and really listened, learned. I was listening to all the podcasts. I'm writing things down like a crazy person. But I'm not getting any movement on the scale. And okay. The reason, I think, is that I was really I've been really just absorbed in the program and in learning and loving the program.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I want to lose weight. I mean, that's really important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I think what I realized, and maybe there's other new or June babies or other people that, you know, we jump in and we just absorb all right. of the goodness. And the call before me made me realize maybe I just needed to develop some kind of foundation before moving on. And now I feel like what I'm doing is really, I've done the four basics. I'm focusing on the four basics and really trying to simplify that for myself, because I think I got so crazy in all of it that I was just out there learning everything, listening to every podcast mm-hmm. on Facebook. And
yep.
because I just wanted to all the goodness, I was just feeling it, you know, I'm like making new friends mm-hmm. and I have an accountability mm-hmm. partner. But then it's sort of like, well, shit, you have to really start.
You have to actually make a plan, right?
Right. So you have to make a plan. So what I've been on one of Corinne's calls, you know, she was saying how lucky we are to have, you know, coaching calls and to ask the coaches. And I've really been trying to take advantage of that because mm-hmm. the mindset is so new for me to think yeah. of a model, and you know, I just, it's hard to do. But what I guess where I'm at right now is, how do you sort of pump the brakes, slow down, focus, and get some weight loss? And I have moved the needle a little bit. So I think I'm a total of 5.5 pounds I think we've been doing this maybe 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with that. I'm good. Okay. But I also realize that I don't like, planning and committing. I love to talk. Uh-huh. I love to like write uh-huh. everything out. But actually the action part of it
uh-huh.
is a challenge.
Okay. So why don't you like to plan? You're like my friend, Stephanie. Who else was I talking to about planning?
Yeah, no, I heard her.
Right.
I related.
Yeah. So why don't you like to plan?
She's having tuna tomorrow. So I was like,
okay. Open-faced tuna sandwich sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Right. So I was like, oh yeah, I have Trader Joe's tuna. I'll have tuna tomorrow. But I think because I have been in a place of feeling very overwhelmed at work, at home. I could go into all the stories about that. It's the past. So adding more to what I have to do feels scary and overwhelming. And so I do much better as a planner, but I sabotage myself and say, no, bless you.
Excuse me. Bless you. Okay, better. Keep going.
So I think that I feel really overwhelmed baseline in just my daily existence. It's getting better with some skills I've been learning, but to add planning on top of it sometimes feels overwhelming. And if I could start small by thinking, instead of the exact meal, if I could say, you're going to have a fruit and a vegetable. I just don't even know how to do that though. Yeah.
Do you want me to go through the same thing I went through with Francesco with you? What did you eat today? What did you have for breakfast?
Yeah. So I think Francesca and I are like connected somehow. So mm-hmm. I had yogurt, berries, mm-hmm. and fiber cereal.
Okay. And is that pretty consistently your breakfast every day?
Yep. I have that right. almost every day.
Okay.
Yuck.
And yeah. what did you have for lunch?
A half a salad. And then my snack was watermelon, like a fruit watermelon. Mm-hmm. And dinner was half a bag of popcorn. That was not what I planned.
Oh, you planned dinner?
No, I did plan dinner for spicy turkey, green bean casserole thing, but things got crazy, and so I had a half a bag of popcorn.
When did you plan that?
This morning. So I did make a plan. So
you did make a plan today. Yeah, so it's not that hard. It's not that overwhelming. Right?
It is. It takes all of, I'm on vacation. And so
it takes like all of 2 minutes. And that's if you think.
I know. I almost need like a list to go from to say, here's your basics.
Just there's nothing wrong with that. I have one of those. It's called, on my phone. I keep all my recipes, all my food on my phone.
Yeah.
And in an album of screenshot recipes off of Pinterest. And I will scroll those things and I'll think, what am I going to have next week? And I'll buy the groceries based on whatever I pick.
Yeah.
Boom, done. So I have a weekly plan, right? Because I have to have groceries in the house to make dinner. I have a husband. Yeah. He likes to eat. Yeah. Right? And so I pick something off the, you know, off the weekly plan that I've had for dinner. And we have it for dinner. It's not that hard.
Do you weekly plan on Sundays?
I actually do mine on Saturday morning.
Okay.
And I ask him, what do you want to eat this week? So I involve him in the planning because it's super important to, I think, to involve your entire family in the planning.
Yeah.
I put together the grocery list. We go to the grocery store. Actually, I do one of those, Kroger has like, I don't know if it's called Instacart or something like that, where you do the list online and they pull it for you. That's $5 I spend every week, I swear. Mm-hmm. Saves me an hour. We go pick up the groceries. I put them in the fridge. I do the food prep, whatever it is I'm going to prep. Sometimes it's very little. Sometimes it's a lot. Depends on my week. On Sunday, and everything is in the refrigerator. I already know what my breakfast is going to be every day. I have the same thing for lunch every day. And I only pick things I don't mind reheating.
Mm-hmm. And then I like that idea.
Yeah. Well,
I like that.
Did you hear what I said? This week is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You
know? Pulled pork and
pulled pork and baked potato, broccoli.
But you know what? I think for all of us who hate, I shouldn't say hate, that's such a strong word. But who aren't used to planning, I love the idea of just eating the same thing because it takes that thought out of it. So listening to you say that, I was like, yes, I can do that. I can eat the same thing. I have no problem with that.
So then I plan 5 dinners, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. All right. If things get crazy and I don't have time to make Monday's dinner on Monday, I might make Tuesday's dinner on Monday. Mm-hmm. No big deal to me, right? Because I have all the stuff for 5 nice meals. Mm-hmm. About 3 of them every week repeat. We have spaghetti every week. We have taco meat every week. I make a bowl. My husband makes the tacos. We have, what's something else we have every week? Salad with chicken on it every week.
Mm-hmm.
How much easier can that be? It's 3 things we know we love that we're going to want to eat every week. We're just simple creatures.
Yeah.
The other 2 things tend to be a casserole or, you know, steaks on the grill or whatever it is that we decide when we make our plan. And then it's done. It couldn't really be any easier. And the decisions are all already made.
Yeah.
So I don't have to think. I can, like on nights that I have office hours, I always do spaghetti because it's super easy. And I can eat real quick, and then I can come do office hours. It's like my Tuesday night routine. He's down there. I just heard him come in from a yoga class, and he heated his up.
Yeah. I think that's really good. And, you know, in knowing that I had the opportunity that there weren't, there was room for my hand to go up, I think what I felt is that, again, as a June baby, I was so deep in the weeds of everything, like, loving all of it, but I wasn't doing anything.
All right. You're going to come away with homework.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to have homework.
On September 1st, you're going to go through No BS just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But between now and then, you're going to work a bonus course. You're actually not only going to listen to the lessons.
Yeah.
You're going to do the bonus course, and it's called Big Ass Action.
Yeah.
Have you listened to this one yet?
I haven't, but it feels so, because, you know, Big Ass Action falls fully in line with my grab ass and food.
Well, what this means, what Big Ass Action means, is it talks about the difference between passive action and massive action.
Yes.
What you have been doing is a lot of action. You've been doing a lot of learning, but it's all very passive. You haven't put any of that learning into big ass action yet.
Right.
Okay. And that's the actual application of everything you're learning. And that big ass action course is going to solve it for you. You work that course over the next,
I have 2 weeks. Or,
2 weeks.
You know, yeah. Or 10 days or so, but yes. Yeah. And I think that, that just hit it on the head. And, you know, my accountability partner, she had shared with me too, like, you know, I'm talking all this stuff, but at some point my actions have to fall in that same line. And one thing that I heard you mention another time was that to wake up in the morning and know that I followed my plan the day before is truly the best feeling ever. Like,
definitely.
It doesn't have to be like weight. It doesn't have to be perfect. But to know that you committed and followed through with that is so powerful. So
definitely.
So yep. No. I will do.
You're not just going to listen to the course. You're going to do the course. You have to promise me.
I so promise you.
All right.
I pinky promise you.
Pinky promise me. All right.
Thanks for your time.
All right. See
ya. Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right, Regina, you're up. Hello.
Hey, I don't know where you are. Gosh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you and I can see you.
Oh, okay, because I can't see. I can hear you, I can't see you. So I've got this new laptop and I don't know what I'm doing with it.
I must be behind something.
It must be. Oh, that doesn't matter. I don't need to see myself, so that's good. That's probably better anyway.
Oh, no.
I wish I could find it, though, because I'm a face person, so I like to see. Oh, there you are. Oh, I found you.
Good.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay, that's much better.
Okay.
So my problem is, and I kind of was listening to the other call where you know, she dealt with her feelings. She suppressed her feelings with food. And I have done that my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been, I don't know why they call it sneak eating, because it's sneaking, but you're not hiding it from anybody, but you know, you're not eating in front of other people.
Mm-hmm. You think you're getting away with something and you're really not, because it's going to end up on your hips and you're going to,
you're still going to gain the weight. So, and that's my problem is I'm a big stress eater. And so lots of stuff's going on. My, in fact, I was talking with Betsy on Saturday through typing because I was at work, so I couldn't get on a call about my son just graduated college. He's looking for a job. His way of looking for a job and my way of for him looking for a job are two separate things. And it's stressing me out. But my other thing is my husband travels a good bit during the week. So I'm here by myself at night. And that's when I find that huge binge eater. And I make a plan and I'll stay to that plan most days till after dinner. And then if my husband's here, he walks the dog every night. Well, I'm shoving food in my mouth as fast as I can get it from the time he leaves the door to the time he gets back.
Okay.
And I don't know why I do that. Like when I was younger, even, you know, living in the home with my parents would go to bed and I would sneak eat and I'd do that. And I don't know why I do that. I don't know if I'm trying to,
The history lesson is important. I think what's important, honestly, is in the moment.
Right.
Eating is in your action line of your model.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating because it's not.
But what's in the feelings line?
Well, I was trying to think, like, this week in particular, and it's only Tuesday, but like with my husband not being home during the night, I'm here by myself. So mm-hmm. I'm bored. I'm okay. Lonely. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm eating just to have something to do, because I have plenty of things I could be doing.
Eating is just your habit. That's what you've decided is what needs to be done when the husband's not.
Yeah. And even like tonight, I had a plan for dinner. I'd planned a dinner. But then I came home and I started grazing. I never got to dinner because I ate so much grazing that my stomach was hurting at that point. And I'm like, well, I don't need to eat anything else in the stomach hurts. So I've got to get this on track because it's very frustrating. I've always used it as a coping mechanism for things, and it doesn't solve anything. And I know that in my head, I know.
Yeah, intellectually, you know that, right. But yeah. Your habit, all a habit is a well-worn pathway in your brain. This is, this is what we do. We're bored. Let's eat. We're lonely. Let's eat. We're mad at the kid. Let's eat. When you could be, I was sitting here thinking, your son has graduated from college and he's looking for a job. And that's not good enough because he's not doing it the way you want him to do it.
Right.
Which is so interesting. That's a whole nother coaching call. Yeah. But the sneaky.
Well, I mean, that thing has its own dynamics. He's an only child, moved out of the house into an apartment without a job. And mom and dad are still paying the rent. Then that's a whole nother coaching call. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's just I'm so frustrated and that's how I've always coped with things is to eat. And
That's what you've decided, that somehow eating is going to make you feel better.
Right.
When it doesn't.
But no, it doesn't.
Right. But in the moment,
more than one level.
It's back to that in the moment, the temporary relief versus the long-term relief of actually losing the weight and stopping the eating.
Right.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is get to the core of why you're eating in these moments. You know, if it's bored or lonely or just any feeling you're not willing to feel, any discomfort you're not willing to sit through, that's what you have to figure out. So when you do these nighttime eats, these overeats or binges or whatever you want to call them, are you doing your recovery worksheets?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
You have to do them every single time. You tell yourself, I do not have permission to eat off plan unless I am ready to do a recovery worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a hard rule for you. It's got to be like a non-negotiable. I'll eat, but I got to do the recovery worksheet. Otherwise, I don't eat.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would, for you, I'd do the two-pager. You really need to dig and figure out why you're eating in that moment.
Okay.
Okay? It's going to be super important for you if you want to stop this habit.
Right.
To figure out what it is you're avoiding. You know, if you're just coming in the house and you're just eating all the things, you're not even thinking about what you're avoiding. You're just like, I'm not going to feel anything tonight. I'm just going to eat.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. It's a bad day at work. I eat. Upset with my child. I eat. You know, here by myself. I eat. It's like, it's crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
It feels crazy though. Well, it feels
that's judgment on top of binging.
Right.
Okay. It's like I was telling somebody else, y'all throw on this layer of judgment that you have to push through before you even get to the source of the binging. If you just, decided, I'm not going to do the judgment part, you could work on the binging.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've done is you've stuck this big goopy layer of judgment in the way of working on the binging. So now you're binging and you're beating yourself up over it.
Right.
Rather than saying, all right, the beatdown's not happening tonight. I'm just going to move straight to the recovery worksheet because I want to figure this out.
Okay.
That's what you have to do. You have to set all that. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be feeling this. I shouldn't be acting this way. I shouldn't be eating. You have to set all that aside because that doesn't help at all. That's like putting up the Jersey barrier at the, exit ramp. You can't go that way. You can't do anything with it. It's just a big fat roadblock for you.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll do the worksheets?
Every single time.
Okay.
Go ahead and print out 40 or 50 of them.
Okay.
There's a girl in the tribe, Jen Saya. Do you know her? Have you ever seen her around? She's lost like 90 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Last count I heard, which was months ago, she's done more than 300 recovery worksheets.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to lose weight, a significant amount of weight, and bust through why you're overeating, you have to do those recovery worksheets.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I will put it on my plan. I will definitely pull them out.
Okay. And then when you have some data from your recovery worksheets about why you're doing this eating, I want you to come back to one of these calls and talk to either me or Betsy.
Okay.
All right. And let us help you process a few of them, because then we can set you up with some new thoughts and an action plan to at least try on these nights when you're home by yourself.
Okay.
For now, the plan is the recovery worksheet is non-negotiable.
Right.
And the first question is, what did I eat? And you write down everything.
Okay.
About beatdowns.
Right.
You have to see. Part. Right. Yeah. Well, but you have to see with a clear mind what you're eating. It goes back to who was talking about awareness.
Right.
That, right?
Yeah, right.
To solve
right.
it, you have to see it. You can't hide from it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Two quick questions. What do you use as spaghetti noodles? Amy, I use gluten-free thin spaghetti. I don't use very much of it, maybe a third of a cup. What I do is I bulk up my spaghetti sauce with yellow squash, mushrooms, and onions. And I love big chunky vegetables. Sometimes I throw broccoli in it too. Honey says, why are all events paid in full with no deposit? Simplification and ease for not only participants, but for us, for the team. It's a commitment that you make. You know, when you pay the full thing, it's a commitment that you'll come. There's a lot of reasons for that, but mainly ultimately what Corinne has decided to do in order to facilitate the registration process. Anybody else have any questions or anything they want to tell me before we sign off? Kathy, that reminds me of the closet from Clueless. I don't even know what you're talking about, Laura. What did I say? I don't know. Anyway. All right, y'all. I don't see anything else going on here. I hope you have a good evening, and I will see you next week. Okay. Bye.